Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of September 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and this morning's USDA crop production report and the WASD figures with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. USDA says U.S. farmers will raise the largest crop ever at 171.7 bushels to the acre, nearly 14.4 billion bushels strong. Matt Bennett will be here to look at that number too, and so will Daryl Good, ag economist at the U of I, right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, here are the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. The September corn futures finished down 7 cents at $3.31¾. December futures there at $3.41, 4¾ lower. And the March contract at $3.53½, down a nickel. May futures at $3.62, down 4¾. July, 4¾ lower at $3.69¼. Next year's December at $3.87½, down 3 cents for the day. From the soy complex, nearby beans down 9½ cents in the September, $10.61½. November at $9.81½, 12¼ lower. And January futures at $9.88¼, down 12 cents. March futures $9.93¾, down 12. July soybeans at $10.07, 11½ cents lower. And the November contract of next year at $9.92, down 13¼. Bean meal futures down $16.10 in the bean oil, 14 cents lower for the day. Soft red winter wheat at $5.03, 15¾ lower. In the September and July of next year, down 11¼ at $5.46½. From the livestock side, live cattle futures finished up at $157.57½ in the October, $2.12½ lower. Feeder cattle were down 80 cents at $228.05. And the lean hogs for the day in the October at $106.45. They finished 65 cents lower on the afternoon. A quick look at the weather forecast shows us mostly cloudy skies and a high of 62 degrees. This afternoon, tonight, mostly cloudy and 51, and then Friday, partly sunny and 63. Friday night, mostly cloudy and 45, and Saturday, sunny skies and 64. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. Here's what
agricultural
the outside markets
programming
look
is
like
made possible by Leonard Seeds.
Crude oil futures are now trading the nearby contract for October at $92.88 a barrel. They're up $1.21 for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.75¾. That's 0.3¢ higher. And the gasoline on the RBOB at $2.52½, just about unchanged for the day. Natural gas trading at $3.83¹, 11½ cents lower. And ethanol futures in the October, 0.6¢ lower at $1.82¹. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 17,033. That's just about 25 points lower. The gold futures at $1,238 are down about $6 for the day, and the dollar index is unchanged at 84.29 on the afternoon. Let's go through some of the numbers as they came from USDA this morning. Taking first a look at the corn numbers, the yield now at 171.7 bushels to the acre. That compares to 167.4 from the August USDA crop production report. Beginning stocks, or what the ending carryout for this year, is now at 1.181 billion bushels, the same as last year. Production this year at 14.4 billion bushels is up about 360 million bushels, and we'll end up with an ending stocks figure for this year somewhere near 2 billion bushels and a trade average of $3.20 to $3.80 for the average farm price. The average farm price, by the way, for soybeans will be between $9 and $11, and the carryout on the soybeans at 475 million bushels. That's up from the 430 million bushel number USDA released last month. More in just a moment here on Will Ag.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It is the 11th day of September, 2014. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's USDA Report Day. On the phone line, as usual for a Thursday, is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. What a number USDA released for the corn figure this morning. How did the trade react after they saw the 171 bushel to the acre corn crop that's staring them in the face, Dan?
Well, it initially acted real bearish to it because it did come in, I think total production was maybe 100 million more than what the trade was looking at, and the average yield was a bushel. And the market was already down, trading roughly 4 cents or so, with the day traders, you know, pushing the market around before the report. And then we just went ahead and collapsed, you know, on down into that 9 to 10 cent range. But I think here at the end of the day, the market came back and kind of closed in the mid range. So, you know, I think the market wasn't totally shocked, and it wasn't totally all new news, because we did see, you know, the larger number from the SC Stone Group here about a week or 10 days ago. So nothing was really outside of what the trade had already seen before.
When you looked at the numbers, did anything look particularly out of place for you? And we have now a 2 billion bushel carryout on a yield of 171.7 bushels to the acre. And I think the harvested acres, in fact, I know they did, not changed this month.
Well, I think the bear will probably argue that demand is fairly lofty on USDA's balance sheet to come up with a 2 billion bushel carryout. So I think there's going to be some resistance from USDA's demand numbers. But, you know, those are guesses at this point in time, and we'll have to see how the Southern Hemisphere weather pans out. But I think general consensus is USDA is probably a little lofty, maybe on the demand side of the equation. Now, I think the big discussion point between now and the October crop report is going to be what USDA will do with planted and harvested acres on the October report, and then you may even see some revisions on the November, and then maybe even on the final report on January. You know, Informa Economics, the well-respected consulting firm out of Memphis, Tennessee, argues that based upon their analysis of the FSA numbers that were released in August, that USDA's planted and harvested corn acre number could be 2 million too high. They think that maybe USDA's soybean number could be 1.3 million acres too high. Now, we're going to get a new set of those numbers, or an updated set of those FSA numbers come Monday. So we'll see whether or not, you know, the Informa Group keeps with their current estimate of acreage reductions, or we'll have to make upward revisions or maybe some downward revisions. We'll have to see that. And that'll be what the trade will probably wrestle with. I just did some quick multiplications, and if you would assume Informa numbers are correct, or they think that there's a 2 million acre drop in corn coming at us in harvested acres and planted acres, the October report, you could actually bump up the yield a little over four bushels per acre and still keep total production the same. So that kind of implies to me that we may be looking at the largest production number today, even if the yield does go up. If the acres do come down, then we could be looking at the largest production number. The other argument is that USDA did do a record jump from the August to September yield, going up about 4 point. I don't know how many bushels did we go up, about 4.3. So, you know, a large chunk of the big jump from August to October is already probably placed into the marketplace. So, you know, there's reason to believe that the production number we saw here today might be the biggest of the year. And if that's the case, then the market will start trying to trade a sideways trading range. I mean, that's probably the debate among chart people is, somewhere in here, we're going to have to start turning sideways, build a base. The question is where does that base building begin? Does it begin at, $330, $310, $3, whatever? And then how wide a range is it going to be? Now, if you do the same pencil work on soybeans, that the yield could actually jump up 0.7. You could take the national average yield all the way up to 43.7 on beans and still keep production at the same level here published here on the August report or on the September report. So, again, I think Monday's report is going to be real controversial, and the trade is going to, you know, argue back and forth. But based upon correlations of past reports, and that there's room for acreage adjustments to come downward in both corn and soybeans.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us, and have a good day there in New Orleans.
Same to you.
Dan Zwicker, of course, is with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Very quickly, I'll be in Mount Vernon this evening at the Farm Credit Illinois office if you want to join us. We'll have Matt Bennett, who you'll hear a bit later in this program, along with us, and Pete Manhart and Gary Schnittke. We'll take the ARC and PLC program up, and of course, USDA's reports this afternoon, or rather from this morning, that in Mount Vernon tonight.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Earlier in the day, Darrell Good walked downstairs to my Mumford Hall office, and we had a discussion about the USDA reports. Of course, we've given you all the numbers. I asked Darrell what he thought about the numbers, and in particular, about the new consumption in the corn market.
The big jump was in their forecast of feed and residual use of corn, which is consistent with the pattern of when you have a large crop and low prices, feed and residual use tends to be elevated somewhat above what you might normally expect. So they did jump that quite a bit compared to the August number, added 25 million bushels to their projection of corn exports, and raised about 50 million bushels on ethanol consumption next year. So kind of across the board in all the major categories of consumption, they did imply some kind of price response here that with the lower prices, we would expect to consume more. And that will prevent stocks from building quite as large. But still, we don't have the final production forecast yet. So this is a kind of an interim look at how big year-ending stocks might be.
After the August crop production report, you and Scott Irwin, Darrell, took a look at big crops and how often they got bigger in a big crop year. There wasn't a lot of correlation from August going forward, but once you had August to September and an increase, it appears that more often than not, a big crop continued to get bigger as it at least relates to corn. Is that right?
Well, there is some tendency. The stronger relationship that is in really big years like this, if the number gets bigger in September, then the final estimate is always bigger than the initial forecast. It doesn't always get bigger from September forward, although it generally does. The real question is, how much bigger does it get after you see this initial increase in September? And that's what varies quite a bit from year to year.
There was another note of interest that showed up in the executive summary from USDA this morning as it relates to ear weights and number of ears in an acre. What did you see there?
I think the most interesting number there was the estimate of number of ears per acre in the 10 objective yield states. That did increase. It looked like, based on their graph, they didn't publish a number, jumped to 400 to 500 ears per acre compared to the August forecast. That's a sizable increase, about a 15% increase in the number of ears per acre. Really haven't seen that happen in the historically. Suggests that in a number of cases that the second ear that was questionable in August now has been determined that it will be a harvestable ear producing significant grain, so that we got more ears per acre. Clearly the number of plants per acre didn't change from August, but so some of these double ears that people have been talking about all year long, looks like more of those will produce significant amount of grain this year.
USDA lowered in this report the season's average cash price. It was down 40 cents on both ends, the high and the low of the range.
Yes, they did. I think, you know, that's kind of in recognition of what the market has done since over the last month. We've seen a sizable decline in corn prices, and I think USDA now is catching up to that, saying with this kind of carryover of basically 15% stocks-to-use ratio, then that puts us back to a kind of a price that we saw in 2009, 2010, roughly at the $3.50 level when we had a similar carryover situation then. And so, again, whether that forecast will change next month, I think is still the interesting question, because the market clearly thinks that the production number will get bigger in the August or in the October crop production report, and that will likely translate into an even higher forecast of year-ending stock.
Joe, could you put both the corn and the soybean crop being harvested this fall in the United States into some perspective on the global front?
Well, U.S. crop obviously is very large. What we did see is in this month's report is that the forecast of the Chinese corn crop was reduced by almost 200 million bushels. That didn't necessarily translate into expectations of higher imports by China, but is quite a reversal from last month's production number. We also saw a little bit smaller forecast for the Argentine corn crop based on prospects of fewer corn acres planted there. So I think the world crop is quite large, but the increase is nowhere nearly as much as the U.S. crop this year. And so that suggests that the U.S. will be in a very competitive position in the export market. So if there is perhaps some point of optimism, is that perhaps the current projection of corn exports may be a little low as well. We might find somewhat better demand at these kind of prices, U.S. being very competitive for the first time in a number of years from a price standpoint. Soybeans globally, if the South American production forecast is close, then we were looking at that huge supplies of soybeans. Makes you wonder if the price may be in the lower half of the USDA's price range rather than at the midpoint of $10. Certainly $10 compared to $3.50 corn would be a high price. And with stocks to use ratio about the same, suggests to me that maybe they're still a little too optimistic on the price of soybeans.
Finally, Darrell, there's been a great deal of discussion about the carry in the marketplace and what that means for producers and whether or not they should really store this crop. What would your druthers be?
Yeah, I think first you have to recognize that there's potential for some further slide in corn prices. If you use 94 and 2004 as kind of analog years, when the production number did get bigger in October in both of those years, we tended to put in a low in the corn market in October, so kind of near the end of harvest rather than at the beginning of harvest. So if the number does get bigger this year, there's probably somewhat more down pressure on corn coming. Then again, using those years of analogs, you would expect some decent rebound in cash prices coming out of harvest over the next 6 months. Now the question is whether that will be enough to cover the cost of storing that crop, and that comes back to some extent to where the crop is stored. Out-of-pocket costs for storing on the farm are reasonably low. If you have to rent commercial storage, That is relatively expensive to do that and would require a much higher increase in corn prices. And the current carry in the corn market would not cover that cost. So that if commercial storage is your choice, then it's either don't store or store it unpriced. There's no opportunity to store it and forward price and earn a carry if you're storing commercially. If you're storing on the farm, then the decision is not quite as straightforward. The carry is probably big enough to cover the cost of storage so that you could put it in the bin, forward price it, and wait for the basis to improve and earn a return on storage. Will that return be greater than the potential increase in flat prices over the next 6 months? I would tend to want to have a fair amount of corn coming out of harvest. If I'm going to store it, I would store it probably unpriced at this point, thinking that the chances are we will see lows coming in around that October timeframe.
Thank you so much, Daryl.
Thank you.
Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. On the phone now is Matt Bennett. He is with Channel Seeds and joins us to take up the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks so much. And I'm looking forward to being with you in Mount Vernon this evening.
Yeah, I think that'll be a great meeting, especially with, the happenings today in the marketplace.
Yeah, how did you view what happened there? I assume that this was something you expected.
Yeah, I mean, I've been expecting that we would grow on yield. Whenever you look and see up to 171 plus, I mean, I didn't know that they would take that all maybe right away, but I think it's certainly reasonable whenever you look at what ear weights are, and population's just huge, which we've all known that for quite some time now. But soybeans didn't surprise me at all. I know the weather's just been pretty much perfect to, in most places, be able to finish off the soybean crop in a very good fashion.
You were in Nebraska, I think, at Husker Harvest Days this week. What'd you hear out there in the way of yields?
I was actually in South Dakota this week. So,
oh.
And to be honest with you on yields, those guys were a little bit concerned. Don't feel too good about where they're standing. And, I think that it's kind of a tough deal, especially where I was at, which was west of Sioux Falls, about 2 hours. You know, their basis is running 90 to a buck under. So, they're looking at yields under their APH. So, crop insurance is definitely going to come into play for those guys.
Did that change your mind at all about how big you thought the crop was?
Not really. I understand they're in a tougher situation, and I certainly feel bad for those guys, but I also think that, for the most part, it's a fairly small area, comparatively speaking. So,
what was your best set of advice for them at this point?
Well, we talked, and there wasn't anybody in the room that felt like corn was going to rally between now and when they were going to be harvesting.
Right.
So a lot of guys felt, we talked about it. I said, this is not a one-size-fits-all situation, and a lot of it depends upon their insurance.
Support for agricultural programs.
So if they've got a fair amount of insurance premium, they may want to go ahead and sell some corn now. Then maybe they can look to buy calls later on if they want to try to re-own. But go ahead and sell some now, especially when they feel like most of us do, the basis up there isn't going to do anything but go down.
So as you look forward then through the coming harvest season and you think about what farmers should do with corn, especially in storage, we've talked about this before. There's some carry in the market. I'm wondering how you view that and if producers should take advantage of the carry, if they can, depending on whether they're storing commercially or in their own grain bins.
Well, I think there's going to be some challenges depending on which system you're dealing with because, people are talking about some in charges with elevators. A lot of it's going to be completely dependent. Yes, there is carry in this market, but we have to understand that, if we're doing it commercially, we got to make sure that we're paying for storage at least. But you know, if you're doing it on the farm, by all means, I'd be capturing the carry, because you know, realistically, with a normal storage rate, you can actually sell it for D's 15 and pay the storage and make money, which is crazy. But that doesn't happen very often. So obviously, you know, things are a little bit out of whack.
And what do you think of the soybean numbers from today?
Well, I thought with soybeans, you know, big yield, big carryouts. It's nothing that we don't already know. And still awfully good, of course. But whenever we look at South America, we're going to come to the table with plenty of acres as well. And to me, it's a tough game to get bullish beans. I just don't have a whole lot of bullish arguments here. And I think that, you know, the days of selling $10 cash beans are probably over for a while now.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Yep.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He's from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, and Channel Seeds, of course. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L. AG.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the weather forecast. And let's start with the cold weather. It turned cool here today, and there has been some frost in some parts of the northern hemisphere. I think the Canadians actually had some frost overnight. Where and then how likely is it to get into the Corn Belt?
Well, you're right, Todd. There was a lot of frost and even sub-freezing temperatures across Canada this morning, especially in Alberta, where temperatures dropped into the low and mid-20s. Some of that frost extended all the way through Montana and into North Dakota this morning. Though we ran our proprietary application and figured out that no corn or soybeans were affected by frost in the United States this morning. There were small proportions of wheat, though, that were affected by frost, with around 11% of U.S. hard red winter wheat having experienced one, and around 16% of U.S. spring wheat. And that was mostly due to cold temperatures in Montana and into western North Dakota. Now, the reason we're talking about this so extensively is because that cold air is moving to the south. The main reason temperatures aren't around 5 to 10 degrees colder is simply because we have a huge cloud deck across the United States and into the Canada prairies. That cloud deck will continue to linger over the next 1 to 2 days, but once the clouds exit, that's where temperatures will really drop. That's why we had temperatures in the low and mid-20s in Alberta, which is just to the north of Montana. So what we think over the next 2 days is that we'll see the coverage of coolness expand, and we'll see temperatures in the 30s across a big chunk of the central and northern plains and the northwest third to half of the Corn Belt. That will probably include around 30% of U.S. corn and soybean production. The magic number is 36 degrees. Once we reach 36 degrees, we've technically had a frost, though a non-killing frost, and you need to drop below 32 degrees to have a killing frost. We don't think too many people will see temperatures reach the 32-degree mark, which is the level of freezing. But we think a large portion of the U.S. corn and soybean area that we talked about will see temperatures between around 34 and 38 degrees, either due to coldness tomorrow morning or on Saturday morning. It's very difficult to assess exactly what that means for corn and soybeans, but we do know that 85% of U.S. corn had not matured as of Sunday, and 88% of soybeans were not dropping leaves, and a majority of the reason for those large proportions being immature or having not dropped leaves is due to the lack of maturity in the northern areas where the frost occurs. So there could be some damage from this event. It's very hard to tell exactly how it will unfold, and a lot of it really depends on just how cold temperatures get.
And farmers that do have crops that are close to mature are thinking about getting in probably late this week or next week to do some harvesting. They'll be concerned about rainfall and continuation of rainfall. What do you see across the Midwest?
The next chance for rain in the Corn Belt is mainly in the western areas today and tomorrow. Then we start to see substantial warming over the first half of next week. That'll help to trigger a few showers and thunderstorms across the Corn Belt on Monday, but we don't look for widespread coverage of heavy rain. We're talking about maybe 10 days into the future before the next major event.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.